First of all, I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, particularly John Baker, who's provided us with some critical pieces of equipment to make some of these measurements. As the title indicates, we're trying to evaluate some manure and tillage effects on the carbon loss from the systems using the eddy covariance technique. Our specific objective is to evaluate that impacts of manure application and tillage management. In this case, it's a deep ripper and a chisel plow on the carbon release at the field scale. This is part of our GraceNet program within ARS as a part of the system trying to pull together different data sets chasing some of the greenhouse gas emissions. This is an aerial photograph of the two fields that we are working in. These are 80-acre plot size, and you can see the location of the eddy covariance tower there with an adequate 200-meter radius around those points on both fields to give us adequate fetch for the measurements that we're trying to make. This is located in west central Minnesota, and you can see that when you look at the footprint of the eddy covariance towers with a high wind speed and a low wind speed to give us adequate fetch. You can see that we cover three different soil types in the west field that will be referred to as the manure treatment, and we have about four different soil types. Three of them are common to that in the west field, but four different soil types in the east field. So we have a little bit of a compounded problem when we're looking at spatial variability, but that's the way it is, and we do the best we can with that. So in the geographic location is given by the coordinates of the west tower, and it's in west central Minnesota. These are typical tall grass prairie vegetation on glaciated till that's been there for 10 to 15,000 years. Looking at the west field, which would be the manure treatment that we'll be looking at, we have these three different soil types that are the primary contributors to the soil fluxes. In the east field, we have the same three that are common, but we have this one additional terracil loam that's slightly different, but when you look at the physical properties of the soil from the surface effects, they basically look the same, and it's very difficult to tell there's any significant difference in the physical properties that you see. So these two fields are adjacent to each other and were initially instrumented in 2004, the fall. One field receives the majority of its fertility from dairy manure, and we call that the west site, and the other field receives its primary fertility from commercial fertilizers. Initially, in 2003, dry cattle manure was applied at a fairly high rate and incorporated with moldboard plowing. In 2006, the liquid dairy manure was injected into the west field and anhydrous ammonia was applied to the east site. Both fields were planted to corn in 2004 and 2005 and planted to soybean in 2006 as part of the farmer's rotation. Each field was intensively tilled with a deep ripper after the corn harvest and with a chisel plow after the soybean harvest. Taking a look at the deep ripper operation in the fall of 2005, this is the kind of surface we have with a DMI deep ripper that's going down anywhere from 35 to 45 centimeters deep. You can see the degree of incorporation of the crop residue, and you can also see how close we got to the tower with that large equipment. Trying to work with the farmer, it takes a lot of coordination, and I'm very fortunate to have a good technician that has developed good working relationships and understands the importance of some of these nitty-gritty details that are important for these measurements. If we take a look at the examples and plotting on the y-axis, the net ecosystem exchange expressing grams of carbon per meter squared per day, and any place where there was missing data points, we use a simple linear interpolation to come up with a daily value. So if we take a look at, on the x-axis, the days before or after tillage in the east site and the west site, with the represented by the different colors, you can see here, prior to the tillage event, we have fluxes are typically less than 1.0 grams of carbon per meter squared per day. After the tillage events, they jump up to between 2 and 3 grams of carbon per meter squared per day, and then there's a gradual decline as we get away from the tillage event. Some of this is related to time, soil drying, and decrease in soil temperatures as we get into the winter period. So as we've observed with some of our chamber measurements, there is a small burp of carbon dioxide that comes out that's associated with that tillage event, and it seems to hang on for almost nearly 10 days under these conditions at this one particular year. So there is a tillage effect on the carbon loss, as we might expect. Now, if we take a look at the liquid dairy manure injection, this is a situation that we were working with. A fair amount of soil disturbance, 15,000, I forget what it is in terms of liters per hectare, but it's about 15,000 gallons of liquid dairy manure per acre that was applied, and you can see that the excess water in some of the low areas is showing there, and it really makes a soupy mess to try to get the tower set back up and functional with these kind of conditions. These guys are under a tremendous amount of pressure. They don't ever shut the pump off, and when they do, it's a major catastrophe because they cannot afford to start and stop the machine to pump that material at that rate. And so it's a very delicate balance between being able to remove the tower, let the manure application go ahead, and then bring the tower back and get it functional so that we can make the continuous measurement shortly after the tillage operation. This is the day that the application was applied, and it was a very foggy day, and so it compounded some of our problems with respect to the eddy covariance towers. After about 10 days of drying, then we went in and the farmer did the chisel plow operation. This was manure that was applied into the soybean stubble. This is one picture for that. Another picture showing at least the profile of the chisel plow that we used. And the chisel plow went about 15 to 20 centimeters deep, pulled with that large tractor. So it was a fairly vigorous tillage operation. Now, if we take a look at the impacts of the manure injection and the compound tillage on the west field, which is the one that had the manure applied. Again, on the y-axis, we have the net ecosystem exchange in the previous units versus day of the year. And you can see prior to the incorporation of the manure, we had relatively low fluxes with one value just slightly above one. At the time of the manure injection, for that first day after the injection, it got as high as 7. But you have to understand there's like 2.5 hours of data that was interpolated. But we did the best we could in terms of the interpolation. But you can see that even after that, for about 10 days, the fluxes ranged between 2 and 3 grams of carbon per meter squared per day. After it was adequately dried, the farmer went in and did his normal chisel plow operation. And you can see that we had another burp associated with that to nearly 6 grams. Then the second day after the tillage was still fairly high, but then there was a decline back to 2 or 3. Again, all of this flux after the manure and after the tillage event is substantially higher than that prior to the manure injection. If we take a look at the east field, where the fertilizer was applied as ammonia after the tillage operation. And so again, we got the same units for net ecosystem exchange, and for the 5 or 6 days here previous to the tillage operation, we have these low fluxes, again, between 0 and 1 gram of carbon per meter squared per day. The tillage with the chisel plow was up as high as 6 grams of carbon. On the second day, it was dropped down to about 3.5. And then on the third day, he applied the ammonia with the typical equipment. And what we see happening here is a precipitous change in the CO2. And we're struggling to try to understand whether that change is a result of the chemical interaction of the ammonia applied into the soil and the way it might affect microbial activity, or whether it's a result of the secondary tillage event that occurred due to the incorporation of the ammonium. But you can see then that throughout the rest of the season, the fluxes were relatively low and really not much different than before the tillage event. Some of this is related to cooler temperatures because we are going into our winter period. To give you some feel for the air temperature during that same period, you can see that we had a lot of minimums that were minus 5 degrees Celsius, And the maximum is up here near 17 and 16 degrees. But there's a lot of diurnal swings that are typical of what we have here, and that's this time where we had the manure injection on the 16th of October and our secondary tillage events and the primary tillage event on the east field. Then the time of the ammonium application was here 2 days after that tillage event. There's a wide range in these temperature fluctuations, and it's very difficult to see much of effect on the daily accumulations that we showed in some of the previous graphs. If we jump scale a little bit now and look at the cumulative losses for a period of 2 years, starting in January of 2005 and ending in December of 2006, there's 2 points we'd like to make. With the first year, 2005, was a corn crop, and you can see that the magnitude of the values of CO2 emission with the corn crop are substantially larger than the magnitude of the emissions with the soybean crop, the following soybean crop. And this has been showed by Shashi Verma and others that soybeans just don't fix as much carbon as a corn crop does. The other thing is that if you try to look for the tillage burp on there, it really does not show a significant perturbation in those data sets. And so the tillage burp that I was interested in was not as dramatic as I thought it might be. But the third point is the continuous increase in the difference between the manure treatment and the non-manure treatment is being accumulated over the 2 years to the point where there's a substantial difference in the amount of carbon that's lost from that manure plot relative to the non-manure plot where there's commercial fertilizer applied. We're not sure what this means in terms of the long-term projections, and as you might expect, if we put more carbon into the system, we might expect more carbon loss with the manure system. So in summary, with the criteria that we use to clean up the data, tillage caused an increase in CO2 flux. I didn't show you the data, but the magnitude of the carbon loss was related to water content and the temperatures at the time of the tillage. The manure injection mimicked a tillage events in terms of increasing carbon loss because the injection process results in the soil disturbance as an additional carbon input, and there's additional water applied that's not applied to the other field. Within 10 days following the manure injection, initial tillage event increased the carbon loss, and the injection of the anhydrous ammonia fertilizer decreased the carbon loss 2 days after the tillage event, and we're still trying to understand the cause for that decrease. With that, I am finished, and if we have time for questions, we'll do that.
If not, we have time for one quick question. For Don, yes, in the back.
So do you assume there's a microbial interaction going on in it, and is that what you're...
Well, that was one of the first reactions to that would suggest that to us, because in the other work with the tillage and the manure, the tillage burp, the duration of that was a lot longer than with this. But we've also had some other experience with chamber measurements where you have that secondary tillage event and you reconsolidate the soil, and that might be responsible for the decline. We're still struggling with trying to find the true explanation.
In either case, you have a reduction of activity that would cause carbon loss.
We have a reduction in carbon loss, and if the soil is sealed and compacted, then it would decrease the carbon loss because it makes it less aerobic, if you will.
May I?
You sure. Will, yeah.
But it does look in connection with the carbon balance emission numbers. So if you try to account for the amount of carbon emitted by the operation,
we didn't do any of that part of it. We're in the process of evaluating the carbon removed by the grain and the carbon returned by the stover, and the fuel. We know the consumption of the fuel that can be worked into that. And the tillage burp that we've lost is relatively small when you look at the total fuel that's required to dry the grain, till the soil, plant the soil, and do the other herbicide operations. My mentor.
Okay, thank you, Bill, for that.